Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Another episode of the Gold Diggers podcast. You are joined today, not by Shai, by the way. Shai's been doing a great job, but I'm here, I'm back, and I'm ready to keep going with Gold Diggers and keep hosting. I had a little break because of work. Listen, I'm literally the epitome of I can't come and kill myself. I'm not going to come and kill myself. But I'm back. Welcome back to another episode. You are joined by me at FLWN underscore, and I'm here with
Marva at Marva MSK.
Oh, Joyce at EL Joyce underscore.
Brie at Brie Blue.
You guys are probably wondering, who is Joyce and why is she here today? Joyce is a long lost member of the Gold Diggers podcast that we have not seen for quite a while. Where have you been, Joyce?
I was on a bit of a sabbatical. You know, uni's been doing uni things, but, you know, I'm back. Because, you know, like, we just... champions of the world. I just had to come in.
Oh, don't even give us any of that. Don't give us any of that. She, imagine we get champions of the world, all of a sudden she's back in her seat. Anyway, do you know what? Actually, let's keep on that energy. Champions of the world, Brie. Are you happy that we have got at least something to show for our season so far?
No, I'm ecstatic. And the reason why I say that is because I officially accepted that we're not winning the league this season.
Wait, when did you accept that?
Because it's been a little while now. It's been a minute. I mean, just after the last episode, I still thought there was hope. But I've accepted that we're not winning the league. It would have been nice to be champions of the world whilst being champions of England as well. But, you know, you can't always have your cake and eat it. But no, I'm really proud of the team, even though we didn't play great football yesterday. Lukaku's fault. I don't care. Could have scored more. We'll come to that. But I must say, we have to give credit to Tuchel. He really is a finalist specialist. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because, is this not our third final already? Well, fourth final. But it's the third final we've played and we've actually won. So his win rate is fantastic. And I think us winning yesterday just goes on to show that we still have that winner's mentality regardless. But yeah, it just feels great. First champions of Europe, now we're champions of the world. I must say, Mendy's must be having a fantastic year. Champions League, AFCON, Super League, Super Cup, World Club Cup, whatever it's called, Carabao Cup, hopefully. Could have been the Premier League, but hey.
Listen, mathematically, it's not out of the question to win the Premier League. I'm just saying, I don't believe it all.
Well,
I'm
now that we're not bringing back the stats again.
Who was doing all the... No, we're not doing that again.
There was, do you know what? We've already played Man City, we've already played Liverpool. What? Like, hey, you never know. We might go... No, I'm playing, we won't. We probably won't. But Joyce, champions of the world, how are you feeling?
I mean, yeah, I'm very happy. I was very, very drunk when I was watching that game because, I don't know, sometimes you need to be when you're watching Chelsea. But that was, it was just like, it was just nice to win. And I think it was just to top off like a really good year that Tuchel's had. Like, he's been here a year, and like Brie was saying, like, won so many trophies, got to so many finals. Like, it's just, yeah, and I feel like the players just deserved it. And I feel like, especially someone like Aspie, who was here, he was like the only person who was here at the last one and we lost, and like being able to come to this final and winning it, and then now having won everything with Chelsea, I feel like it was just nice.
Well, it was like a little kumbaya for Aspie, innit? It's like a little goodbye, because there are reports that he's leaving. He's probably going to go to Barcelona. He's probably going to go.
I would prefer if he just retired at Chelsea. And he's been a phenomenal player, and I think he's probably one of our most underrated, not within Chelsea fan base, but I just feel like other fans don't realise how much of an impact he's had on this club. Because I even look back at his stats, he's won like 9 trophies.
Yeah.
He's basically won it all with us. If he leaves, I'll actually shed a tear, because that's being so special to me.
You know what? He's such a cute. He is. He looks like he doesn't even step on a bug. No. He's so adorable.
He's an amazing captain, and you can just see that he's... I can see why he's that captain. In the change room, you can just understand that he brings that energy. Like,
Do you know what? Speaking of, like, great captains, so Aspie did something yesterday that many people didn't notice, right?
I know what
you're
talking
about. With the penalty. So Kai Havertz was meant to take the penalty, but I'm going to lie, Aspie was holding the ball, innit?
For a bit too long.
He was holding it for a bit too long.
You had me thinking, what's going on?
I was looking at you, I was thinking, Aspie, are you sure? Like, obviously he can handle the pressure, but
he's not a penalty taker, though.
He can do a penalty, but I'm just thinking there are 99 other bad bitches on the pitch that can take that penalty, so put that ball down. But apparently it's because he knew that the Palmeiras players would circle around the penalty taker and kind of make them nervous and anxious. And Kai Havertz, he's only 22.
Yeah.
Even though he lives for big moments at the moment, but he's still only 22. And I thought that was pretty sweet. And when he gave the ball to Kai Havertz and they all circled back there, I was like, yeah.
My captain.
Yeah. But he has his flaws. I mean, the Kepa situation. When Kepa didn't want to come off the pitch in 2019 when we played, Man City in the Carabao Cup final. So he's had his flaws.
Oh, was that the final?
That was the Carabao Cup final, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we were going to penalties. But we'll skip past that. He has been a great captain so far.
Everyone's had their moments.
Yeah. But I do think, like, even amongst Chelsea fans, I think he's very underrated. I know we talked about, like, rival fans, but amongst Chelsea fans as well, like, people still, like, even, like, up to this year, been having debates, like, is Aspie really, like, a Chelsea legend?
He's an icon, for sure.
He's been here, like, he's been here for such a long time. He's been in so many, like, title-winning squads. He's won basically everything with us. Yes, he's not, like, he's regressed, like, quite a bit as a player, and he's not the player that he was, like, you know, when he first came. But I think coming to the end of his Chelsea career, you can't say that he's not at least like an icon. I think a lot of people like kind of disrespect or underrate him.
But do you know what's so mad? Icon, I think that's way too little for him, because one of his best attributes, he's always available.
Yeah.
Like, I think there were two, three seasons on the bounce, Aspie was playing every single game.
Fullback, right back.
Yeah. He was playing every single game, and that it was a lot of credibility on his end.
Mm.
To be fair, as for the quote, he's done something that John Terry couldn't do. Just putting that out there, he's won the FIFA Club World Cup. I'm just saying. I'm joking. Captain Leader, you guys is legend. Not mine. But let's talk to me a little bit about Kai Havertz. So Kai Havertz, he hasn't had the best of seasons this season, but every single big game, he seems to turn up for us. And I can't understand what that is. Joyce, do you kind of give him a pass for the season that he's had so far because he turned up in the biggest game?
No. Maybe I'm bad vibes. I just think Havertz, I mean, he's still quite young, so like we need to still kind of give him time and like, but at the same time, I feel like I still haven't really seen what we paid all that money for. Like, we spent a lot of money on Kai Havertz. I know some of that is that potential, but like a couple of games in a season isn't enough. And I think even up until like, you know, he scored the penalty, but like, I don't think anyone can really say that he had a great game up until that point. I don't know if you guys agree, but like, for me, he wasn't great. And a lot, like, even this season, it's been very, like, hit and miss, like, on and off. He's not starting every game. And, like, Lukaku kind of took the place as false nine. Like, it's still, like...
Wait, sorry, Lukaku took the place of false nine?
Sorry, I mean...
I thought you were cussing Lukaku.
No, as in, like... Like, people were saying, oh, yeah, like, Havertz could play false nine. And obviously, Lukaku came and, like, he's, like,
playing
the
nine.
He's playing the nine, so Havertz can really, like, get into that role. But, like, I feel like we still don't really know, like, where is Havertz going to play best? I don't think Chelsea fans can agree on that. Like, I don't think he... I don't know what... I just...
What is his best role for you? Like, when has he played his best? In what position?
I think false nine is where he's... I mean, obviously, it's where he's scored the most and he's been, like, the most, like, prolific and impacted us the most. When he was playing like deeper, like as an eight under Lampard, that was just not working. When he was playing like a proper right winger, that was not working either. I feel like he needs to be up top in like a two, or playing as a false nine, or maybe, you know, just playing like off the right. But I don't really know with him. I still can't figure him out like as a player.
Do you know what's crazy? It's kind of like we bought him as this creative 10 player, but the Premier League, we don't really use 10s, do we? Yeah, so then it's like, how do we kind of make a system where we have a 10, but like my friend Dami calls it a false 9.5 type of thing, you know? Because it's difficult. He's so techie on the ball and he's so precise, but you have to kind of ask, is how far is that precision going to get you in the Premier League? Even against Palmeiras, like, you got bullied. He got bullied off the ball quite a bit. So then you start asking questions like, Is he going to be able to adapt to the physicality, the pace, and is his football going to complement Chelsea's style of play? Even though I love him.
But then isn't that like your system as well? Because this season, there hasn't been one Chelsea attacker that I've heard anyone say good things about, like, consistently throughout the season. And that comes down to surely, like, inconsistencies of your systems and where you're playing everyone. Because... correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't heard, maybe Werner has had the most support, and that's probably just because Lukaku's been so bad that you're like, let's root for Werner instead.
I mean,
why? I can tell you why. Why it hasn't worked is because we brought in, let me just round off to the nearest 10.
Is this going to go all down to Lukaku?
We brought in a 100 million striker thinking, cool, all of our attacking problems are sorted out. How are we taking a 100 million striker off in the 60th minute in the final? Just it paints the whole picture.
He already scored the goal.
I don't care.
Okay. No problem. But with the systems, right? We've changed systems twice, I think. So we've moved from three at the back. We've gone to four at the back, which is kind of a way to say, it's kind of a way to say we don't have Reece James, we don't have Ben Chilwell, so let's manage with what we have.
Oh, we're missing them big time.
Right. But then it's like, if that was already working, like the 3-4-3 was already working, why change it for Kai Havertz kind of thing? Let's see how we can integrate him into the team. And I think that's kind of the way we're going with Lukaku as well. Why change it for Lukaku when that was working before Lukaku came? But I don't know. I don't know how Tuchel's going to sort this out. And that kind of brings me to my next question for the Chelsea girls. Summer is coming and Matt Law said that Chelsea are going to be backing Tuchel this summer transfer window. We've been linked with Ousmane Dembele, we've been linked with Tchouameni, Declan Rice, Jules Koundé. We need a whole revamp, basically. We've been linked with so many people, but focusing solely on the attack, who needs to go for others to come in?
Lukaku.
Right.
Would you actually sell him? Like,
would you lose? Lukaku. We'd lose money.
Yeah. Would they be up for that, though?
It's a bad investment. We'll make it back.
Do you know, like, I think I was saying the other day, like, if we got rid of all of our attackers and started from scratch, I promise you, I wouldn't care that much. Like, not really. Not, like, and it's hard for me to figure out because, say, like, for the past year and a half, our attackers haven't really been good. Like, no, you can't look at anyone and say, like, they've been consistently at a top level. Do you know what I mean? Like, Ziyech has had flashes. Like, the last few games, like, everyone's like, oh, Ziyech is our best attacker. Pulisic has had flashes. Mount has had flashes, like Havertz has had flashes, but there's nobody who has been like consistently good. Partly maybe because they're young, partly maybe because they're not good. One of them I'd even mention because I'd like number 11 is just, we're not friends.
Oh, but like, cut him some slack. Sorry, carry on.
No, I'm sorry. The way people like treat him, like he's, I don't know. I don't want to go there, but like, he's nobody is like consistent enough. And I don't know if it's because we don't play the same players over and over again. Like other teams, like they have pretty much a very consistent front three or front four or whatever that are playing over and over again and can improve and get better. But if you have people that are coming in and coming out and coming in and coming out, I think it's really hard to know really and truly like who's actually good and who just needs to play into like play their way into form. Do you know what I mean? Like, so just, I honestly couldn't tell you. Like, it's like, I think if you'd asked me at the beginning of the season, I would have said like, oh, Ziyech is probably going to leave. And then, I don't know, maybe Pulisic. But now, you know, Ziyech is kind of like, he's playing his way back into form. Pulisic, I don't know, he was
okay. They should play well as an audition so other clubs want them. So then we can bring in new players. Lukaku should start playing well so he can start auditioning for Inter Milan again and they can take him and we can buy someone new.
Do you know what? That is a typical, like, mum response. Like, play well so others can come and buy you because I'm not dealing with your crap next week, next season. For me, right, Christian Pulisic, he's shown potential and he's had enough time here for us to see that his potential gets disrupted too much by injuries and he hasn't reached the hypes. The height of his potential yet. I'm trying to say this in the nicest way, you know. I'm trying to put this in the nicest way. But maybe he needs to go. Maybe it's our investment in him has overrun its course and we need to look for something new. Maybe Ousmane Dembele.
But then that's why I didn't get the links to Dembele. You're talking about like inconsistent injury-prone players.
I've got a theory. La Liga creates these injury-prone players because they don't know how to look after them. Because Eden Hazard was fine. He was fine. I'm so sorry. He was fine. He was fine for the 7 years that he was at Chelsea. He goes over there. All of a sudden, injury, injury, injury. Then they tell him he can't play football anymore. Then he goes, let me go to my doctors in England to find out. So, no. Ansu Fati, a promising talent, now injury prone. For what reason? I have a theory. Ousmane Dembele was fine in Dortmund. So, let's bring him back to Thomas Tuchel, who nurtured him. And let's see what happens there. I don't know. That's just my theory anyway. I'd bring Ousmane Dembele back because there's no one else on the market. And who can we actually afford? There we go.
I mean,
no one.
I don't think for Chelsea it's a question of like affording because if Chelsea really want to spend money on a player, they'll spend money. Like, we spent 250 million in one, in one summer.
We need two defenders, two fullbacks. Two midfielders.
We signed like six people in one window. That's before. Six. Yeah, but that's what I mean. What I mean is like, I don't think we're going to make all those signings anyway. Like, it's not.
Really?
I really don't. Because
I think those are the priority though.
I know, like, obviously, like, we need to replace like the centre backs that will leave because like Rudiger still might leave. Christensen is almost definitely leaving. Aspie's going to go.
Christensen can bounce. He can go.
But like, we have those three leaving. Like, Kante, you know, like, a bit injury prone. We have the problem with the attack. Which I think is partly about the players, but also about Tuchel as well. But, like, I just don't think that we're going to solve the issues by just, like, buying six. It's so hard to integrate that. Like, we struggled last time so much bringing in all these new players. Mm-hmm. Or any club, even, like, Villa, they sold Grealish, bought, like, 500 million players to replace them. But, like, integrating all those, it's never easy. Like, it's, like, basically starting half the team from scratch. So I don't think we're going to do that. I think they're going to back him, but I think they're going to focus on, like, a midfielder, defender, maybe, like, a winger.
I think we definitely need to focus on fullbacks because Marcus Alonso cannot still live in anymore. We need to trade him in. And you know what? His contract ends next season. So it's either we let him go on a free next season or we sell him this window or we give him a new contract.
Did you hear the way he was talking? He was talking spicy.
What's he saying?
Like, he's saying stuff. Oh, like he's given, like the club put so much trust in him. He wants to repay. He wants to pay for many more seasons. I was like, you've given enough. Like, what are you talking about?
I'm sorry. He wants to pay for what? Many more seasons?
He wants to play more.
I will pay for him to go back to Spain. I will actually pay for him to go. Barcelona are interested in him as well. They can take him too. I'm so sorry. But I think he's going to need replacing. Reece James, a backup for him is going to be needed, especially if Aspilicueta goes. So anyway, our transfer window is going to be looking spicy next season. And looking forward to the two who probably need a transfer window more than we do. no shade or anything. I don't even know who to start with. Man United, or Everton.
Everton.
Start with Man United. Point. Should we pile on them first and then end on Everton?
Yeah.
I'm happy for once, so I don't mind. I'll wait my turn.
I mean, Everton, in fact, everyone here got a W this weekend, apart from Manchester United.
Oh, did they draw?
They drew.
Oh.
They drew to a very good Southampton side. So I'm not even gonna cuss you all with Man United because Southampton were really good. But what is going on, Audrey, with your Man United team? And welcome, by the way, for those who didn't see her in the first half. She was late. Welcome. In fact, you're right. Welcome back to the pod. You, like Joyce, you've taken a sabbatical as well. And so it's so good to have you back. Welcome back.
Thank you. Sorry, I didn't support West Ham. I was rushing to describe my brother's kit. So I didn't support West Ham. So just went out there. I actually don't care about Man United. Like, I've actually reached a stage I don't care. And reason being is like the Middlesbrough game, I'm sure you guys really spoke about it. Chances.
We haven't actually. Yeah, we haven't.
Recorded. Oh, wow. Yeah. So you had so many chances. What do we do? Lose out on penalties. Same thing. Like, what? It's the front three. Like, how can you have Ronaldo and Cavani leaving the line? Like, don't get me wrong. I love Ronaldo, but everyone can see his wash. It's
nostalgia, isn't it?
No, it's just so sad. Like, he's running around. He looks like those orders, yeah, that go to prison, they come back and they still think they've got that. he's washed. And I feel like City, they're crooks because they knew that they didn't need Ronaldo. And everyone's panicking, saying, oh, Ronaldo to City. So they made us scared to buy someone that's washed. Because really and truly, if City wanted him, they could have grabbed him. Like, really and truly, I feel like they could have. Mm. So, like, I remember forgetting when I saw Ronaldo was back, I was typing, I was so happy, saying, yeah, we've got our main man. He's actually washed. Like, he's finished. Like, there's nothing there. Like, oh, even when he's doing his flicks, like, no one cares. I love him so much, but he's actually done. Don't even get me started on Cavani. He doesn't play football. Like, he's actually England for vibe. In fact, he's not in England. He's always in South America just chilling. Like, he's another washed person that doesn't do anything. I feel like Man United, yeah, the biggest mistake they made was letting go of Martial, because I don't want to get into that situation. Because if that didn't happen, there's no way they would have let Martial go out on loan. And now it's just South back. Don't get me wrong. Oh, my God. How can I forget about Rashford? Oh my lord.
He got an assist, no? He got the assist.
That's like the only good thing he did that game.
Honestly.
At least Sancho scored,
fair enough. But like, we're finished. Like, we're done. I can't see us like beating Letty. Apparently, Letty's not really good, innit? I don't really invest in La Liga. Do you guys watch La Liga?
Mm-hmm.
A bit. Are they good?
They haven't been good this season, though.
Okay, cool. No. Then. here's the next player that Maguire.
Do you know what I love about this, by the way? I didn't even need to ask no questions. Like, all I said was, how are you? And then you're like, yeah, let me stop pamming these players.
Do you know what summed it up for me? That you've seen the offside clip?
And then
Ronaldo complains and he's like, me, all of them are offside. Like,
what did you think? Your entire line is off. But anyway, sorry. Maguire, you were saying...
Everyone that was in that deal with Maguire, everyone in this game, because that's a madness. He's actually bad. Like, you know when, guys, I was supporting England during the Euros, isn't it? So I was twanged. So when I watched Maguire and Shaw doing well, everyone can agree that they had a good Euros. So I was thinking, yeah, I've got my captain. We're going to come. He's just been so bad. No discipline. And I actually feel like the reason why Man United, how they are now, yes, we don't have, like, good players or whatever, but there's no leadership. If you have a captain like Maguire being your... If you have someone like Maguire being your captain, he can't lead his backline. How the hell do you think he can lead his team? Like, he's... And it's sad because I don't know why Raf doesn't want to drop him. Drop him. He did it last time. Drop him. Like, he's not putting in performances. Is Eric Bailly back? Or where's Eric Bailly?
I forgot he even plays for your club. I'm not gonna lie.
Do you know what Lindelof? He's not been playing, has he? Mm. So that's why Maguire is still playing. Like, he's just shit. Like, everything about Maguire is shit. They depress me. Like, I'm not happy. Like, before, even when they lose, I find time to troll Arsenal. I don't have any strength because there's nothing. Like, it's not giving me anything. And before, there was a bit of hope. Like, Maguire.
What about AWB?
I was even going to ask that, you know.
Aaron Saka.
you had a lot to say.
Literally, you defend Aaron Wan-Bissaka a lot. But the thing is, he hasn't really been playing, to be fair.
Yeah, because Dalot plays, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm not being funny. I'm probably going to get like backlash from Man United fans. Maguire, I mean, Maguire is so shit, it's still in my head. So Dalot and, obviously, my ex-guy, Aaron, they do the same thing. Like, sorry, yes, Dalot offers more offensively, but his crosses are shit. He does the same crosses as Aaron Wan-Bissaka, so I don't know why people think it's a massive upgrade. It's not a massive upgrade. So you're just putting clowns against clowns. Like, have you guys seen Dalot put one decent... No. Okay, it does, like, one decent cross, but in the match, have you ever seen put, like, three decent crosses? I'm like, oh, that's not bad.
Like, one or two.
Does it go anywhere?
Not really.
So it's not really like, I'm sorry, like, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, like, I actually feel sorry for him because he's not been playing in, like, small games. Like, it's like he's done. He's done. And it's sad because I feel like before he came to Man United, everyone was like, oh, he's really good at Palace. All of a sudden, when he's come to Man United, everyone's trying to say, he's shit.
It's kind of like what happened with Zaha as well, isn't it?
No, but he does what he needs to do, defend. People judge him on people judge him attacking. Like, he does what he does to do. Who's a better 1v1 than Aaron Saka in the league?
But do you know what it is? I feel like, though, it's because, like, people just expect more from fullbacks now.
Which, like, how does she...
Do you know what I mean? Like, just like, no, but, like, because of how football's, like, changed now, people... Like, they, like, your fullbacks, if your fullbacks only defend and they can't go forward, they can't put in crosses, like,
it's problem.
Like keepers, like, if keepers, like, have, like, shit distribution and, like, they're just kicking willy-nilly, just throwing things into the sky, like, no one rates them, even if they're good shot stoppers, because they're expected to do more now. And I feel like that's, like, where Wan-Bissaka kind of...
Fair enough.
Do you know what I mean? How many of you used to be a winger, you know? That's
Have you guys seen the video? I'm going to put the video inside the group chat. But, like, if you guys, can you believe this was meant to be, these games meant to be our easiest games?
Yeah, it's your easiest run.
Oh, my Lord, March was finished.
Should I let you know who you're playing in March?
Please do. Please do.
Okay, let's start from your next match. So your next match, you've got Brighton, which, you know, sometimes we struggle against. Well, you struggle against. Why am I saying we? Sometimes you struggle against, right? Then you've got Leeds, which you always excel against, which is good. So that should be possibly
They've got
a 3
injuries
points.
Right now, too. Like, they're struggling.
So you can run that them to the ground.
That has to be
ground.
A win.
And if it's not a win.
If it's not.
So then you have Atletico Madrid. And then you've got Watford. Then you have Manchester City. Oh, then you have Tottenham.
I don't care.
That's fine. But then you have Atletico again. And then you have Liverpool. And then you have Leicester. And then you have Everton. That's kind of spicy.
My head, I'll finish, man. They're finished.
Is top four still in the question?
Nah,
or no,
it's done. I feel like yesterday's game summed up. It's done because... West Ham, did they lose today? Or was it
against playing...
Because the last time I saw it was
2-1.
Was it 2-1? Leicester was winning.
Leicester was winning? That's a shock. Leicester's been diabolical lately.
Arsenal, while she searches, Arsenal, they've got games.
It's 2-2 right now.
It's 2-2.
Yeah, it's 2-2 right now.
It's 2-2 right now. If West Ham wins that game, cool. We still have Arsenal. Arsenal have like two games in hand? Their games in hand is Tottenham, Wolves and Chelsea. I think they've got come at Chelsea. At Tottenham as well, I'm going to take Tottenham out of the picture because even if their game's in hand, they've done nothing.
Yeah.
West Ham and Arsenal, I don't see them dropping any points if I'm being serious. Like, especially West Ham, because even though West Ham, they're just on good form, and it made me realise that Moise, he doesn't mind prioritising...
What did you call him?
Moise. From West Ham. Moise. He doesn't mind prioritising Zuma. The cat, because he just sees the top four, so I don't see them dropping points. The only hope Man United have of getting top four is winning the Champions League. I didn't say we're gonna win. I said that's only.
Well, because Uncle Ronaldo can carry you guys.
He's washed. Do you watch Ronaldo at all?
Listen, I'm not being funny, but at the start of the season, he seemed like he was fine, and you know, you were quite excited to have him.
Yeah, I was, but now when you actually play him, and see him. It's actually setting Man United back. Before, when I used to see like Red saying, oh, setting us back, I used to think you guys are so selfish and ungrateful. But now I get it.
We used to say it too, that he was setting you guys back.
He does. He's actually set our attack back. And one more point before I move on. Can you, Ole stands, keep stop mentioning Ole saying, oh, you guys complain about Ole. This is the team that Ole had. Why is Rash suffering? If Ole was such a good gaffer or manager, whatever you want to call him, we wouldn't be in this position. He's the reason why Man United are in this position. Red Top Reds keep saying, oh, when Ole left, was only 2 points off top four. We shouldn't be in that position when you buy Ronaldo, Sancho, Varane. Mm. Like, come on, man. Please. I'm tired of hearing about Ole on my timeline. It actually gets my nerves.
But speaking of gaffers, Ralph Rangnick, how can you rate what Ralph Rangnick is doing when really and truly you have regressed a little bit, no?
If you look at Man United stuff, if you look at Man United now, He's training them for 3-0 wins, but you've got clowns on the pitch. You can't blame him.
Okay.
You can actually see that what they're trying. There's chances. Mm. Chances that we're actually creating chances, more chances.
Yeah.
But obviously, our front three are bozos. You've got Cavani, you've got Ronaldo, and you have Rashford. Okay, Sancho, he's finally picking up his game. But, like, you can't blame it on Raf. Okay, fair enough, he does stupid subs, which doesn't make sense. But I'm sorry, it's on the players. You can't blame the guy. You genuinely can't blame the guy. If you have clowns, how do you teach a clown? Can you teach a clown?
You can teach a clown to be a clown.
There you go. They're clowns. Like, literally, they're clowns. There's not one. Okay, Pogba, he did well. Bruno's all right. But majority of the teams are full of clowns. I wouldn't mind starting all over again and just keeping Sancho, Pogba, and...
Is Pogba going to stay?
I don't think he's going to stay. Actually, I saw something. Someone did say that he's either going to stay or go to PSG. I don't know if PSG are going to come back knocking because Real Madrid has basically said they're not on it. They're not involved.
Mm.
But I feel like maybe if the right manager comes, it can kind of change his mind because I'm seeing my United fan. I saw a tweet about United players asking for Poch to come. I don't know why they want Poch. I can't believe I'm saying this. I don't know why they all want Poch, but again.
Tactical manager, isn't it?
No. Someone said a tweet, it makes a point. They want a manager that they can walk all over. They're actually babies. They're complaining about Raf's system. But pick your... do something. Like, they're clowns.
Do you know what I find funny about the fact that you mentioned that they're actually babies, right? When Jose Mourinho was saying it was a problem. But now it's no longer an issue. And the same thing with Tottenham fans as well. They were saying Jose Mourinho this, Jose Mourinho that, when Jose Mourinho was saying that these people are babies and don't know how to play type of thing.
No. Sorry. Mourinho picked on... These are the players that Mourinho picked on. Shaw, Pogba, Rashford and Martial. Those are the four players that Mourinho picked on.
Yeah.
There'll be times that... Martial and Pogba haven't played and he'll be dropping... Things like, they ask why I play Lukaku, this is why Lukaku, like, do you understand? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like Lukaku was doing a madness, it was just, Lukaku was still a bum at the end of the day. Like, no, Lukaku was a bum for Man United. He only scored, he didn't score more goals than Ibra. He couldn't beat Ibra's tally in the league for Man United. That's a disgrace. Like, that's a disgrace. So, of your Mourinho point, how Mourinho treated certain players was not right. How can you want to take shit, sell Martial, tell Rashford to go on loan. Why? For what? Then he constantly kept bringing down Luke Shaw. I understand Luke Shaw is meant to be a footballer. Yeah, I understand Luke Shaw is meant to be a footballer. He's meant to be fit. But, like, footballers go through some stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he could have been struggling mentally with his weight. It's not nice, like, just constantly bringing him down. Yeah. There was even one point that Luke Shaw wasn't starting and, like, you can see his confidence was low. As soon as they got rid of Mourinho, he got a bit of his, you know...
Mojo back.
Yeah. I love Mourinho. He's one of my best managers after Fergie, but he was a bit harsh on certain players. If it was a thing with all the players, fine, but he actually just picked on those four players all the time. He didn't pick on... who was a scrub?
McTominay?
McTominay career. Yeah, he did. And that's why it's not even just him. Fergie, and he needs to stop letting the Scottish thing get to his head. Like,
what
Fergie happened? Said that... We should build the team. Man United one day should build the team around Scott McTominay. He sees a vision. Yeah, I don't know what these people see, but again, tell it like Scott McTominay has been doing all right.
I was thinking, I've always said, give Scott McTominay the right manager and Scott McTominay can be
rubbish.
Something.
You know, he's still rubbish.
He can be.
He's still rubbish. He's, don't get me wrong, he's still rubbish. He's past his rubbish. Like, he has no awareness. He's still rubbish, but he's, you can see a bit, just a bit of improvement while Raph is hearing it.
Mm. I think it's also, though, like, you're relying on someone like Scott McTominay to drag your midfield through, where, like, if there was some world-class midfielders in there that he was learning from, I reckon he could do a job. But it's like, we have a similar thing at Everton. It's like, certain young players, if you're just relying on them all the time, it's like, it's hard for them to progress to a certain extent. Yeah. Like, now and then, it's great that you can, but to week in, week out, have to rely on them, it's only sometimes just going to end up hindering their progress.
Yeah, progress. Yeah. Mm. But then, okay, in your midfield, Audrey, assuming Paul Pogba goes, what kind of midfielder are you looking to join that Man United midfield?
Pogba's not getting anywhere.
Assuming.
Okay, I wouldn't mind Kante, you know?
He's not for sale, firstly. First off.
No.
You should know when Audrey does that face, yeah, she's about to say
something.
You
should
know
when Audrey does that face,
honestly, I would love a midfielder like Kante. High play, he does his job. The thing with...
We'd love a midfielder like Pogba. Who knows? Let's make it happen. We'll get it for free, innit? Let's make that happen.
Okay, I wouldn't mind... what's his name? Who's that Wolves player that we wanted to get, but...
Or Ruben Neves.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind him, you know, just for like the season or two. Like, he does his job, innit? Obviously, he's
what,
not
you gonna want to so season or two, up two seasons.
I think he's an all right player. I wouldn't mind him.
I like Ruben Neves.
I wouldn't mind him, Ndidi from Leicester.
Tielemans
is going. He's on the market.
Not to ask that. I don't want him.
Why do you not love Tielemans? He's quality.
Nah.
Why don't you like Tielemans?
I don't think he's that good of a player. I'm not going to lie to you. No. That one game, what's it called, in the FA Cup, because he scored a goal. It's not just that, though.
He's a well-rounded midfielder. Like, he's actually quite good. He's a proper talent. Mm. I mean, is it just me that thinks
no,
that?
No, I think he's good. Like, he has been a little bit inconsistent this season, but then, like, Leicester have...
Something. Exactly.
I would be interested to see him in a better system, especially when there's like more solid defense, because Leicester's defense has been terrible this season. So if that was more solid around him and he was able to have his like creative output a bit more, I think he could thrive.
Say Leicester's defense been terrible this season. See how God works for giving us Maguire for 80 mil. That's because before, when Maguire left, everyone was saying, "Oh, Maguire was holding them back." Look at. Even though Maguire is holding us back now.
No, I was thinking like you just said.
He's holding us back now, but that's what they get for selling us Maguire for 80 mil. That's mad. Maguire's actually he's actually so bad. Like, I actually feel like Evans is better, was better than him and Chris Smalling. Correct him if I'm wrong.
Do you know, I said that once. I said that once, and I think a lot of United fans are like, are you forgetting how dead Chris Smalling was? I don't know. I didn't watch him week in, week out. Like,
do you know what I'm saying? I didn't watch him week in, week out, but I didn't hear great things about Chris Smalling. I won't lie to you.
Do you know why people used to call Smalling crap? Because he had a clown playing next to him. And anyone who's a clown that still plays for the club now. Phil Jones. When you have a clown, when you put a player next to a clown, then you become a clown.
Osmosis.
Plus clown equals clown.
Yeah.
Okay. No, clown plus non-clown equals clown.
Oh, algebra.
Like, even Phil Jones and Mata starting in 2020. Come on. Those in the tunnel, both in the same.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
That you're feeling
is stupid, because I actually thought that Mata, when I saw Mata was staying, I was like, oh nice, gonna get a coaching badge. When I saw him like still part of the team, what are you still, go away you old man, move on. For Jones, he's just holding, he just wants to stay there. Why? There was a time that they wanted to sell him or whatever. He said no, that doesn't want to go.
Ain't it true that Varane doesn't have his number because of Phil Jones?
Yes, holding. Can you imagine Phil Jones? Like, it's just, but then forgive me, because he did say like he was suffering, men, like the whole not playing actually affected him. Yeah, he had like an article about how it was affecting him mentally. But then if you want to play, I understand you love Man United stuff and whatever, but if you want to play again, take that move. Even if it's just a loan, at least you know you've got some playing time. It's not now just sitting on the bench. He's the only surviving player since Fergie, you know? Mm. No, actually, and what's his name still there? David Hill, obviously. But it's just still Phil Jones that's still been there.
Yeah.
Like, if you want playing time, make that move. Same with Jesse Lingard. Now he's complaining. Apparently, it wasn't him that was complaining. Apparently, his brother. But then, why does your brother feel the need to speak on your behalf? Mm-hmm. Clearly, you've had that conversation behind doors. You had the chance to go. You said no because you wanted to do Ronaldo. Now you're upset that you're not getting, you're not playing.
I was actually going to touch on that. But yeah, we haven't recorded for ages. But the Lingard situation of Jesse Lingard, the move supposedly being blocked. I don't know where he was going to move to.
I think Newcastle.
Newcastle. West Ham are also in talks as well. But would you have let Jesse Lingard go? And
Do you know what? Yeah, our attack
would
is actually
Would you use
very,
him more often?
He should play more often because we're going to need him in like one of them. I forgot we only have one competition.
Yeah, I don't think
going.
You're in any cups.
But like, we need him like attacking wise because our attack is actually so flat. Ronaldo and Cavani. If any of them two get injured, we're only left with Rashford, Sancho, Elanga. So we do need Jesse Lingard. Like I said, Martial going was stupid, but then obviously the situation that happened has left us in this way, like generally speaking. Like
there's nothing else you can do now.
Like, even if Man United tried to look for an emergency strike on who's willing to leave their club straight away.
So what are your ambitions now? So let's round this part up. Mm-hmm. What are your ambitions now for Man United? And have they changed from the start of the season?
I remember from the start of the season. It was not Leeds that we beat like 7 or something. Yeah. Everyone's so happy.
And Beatrice. Was it just them and Beatrice? Yeah.
There's nothing for me to expect anyone. As a club like Man United, depending on teams like Arsenal, Tottenham and West Ham to drop points to get top four is actually a disgrace. You look at Man City, you look at Liverpool, they're going to continuously keep winning stuff and we're going to keep going. We're going to keep regressing backwards. What the top four is done for me. Like I don't see Arsenal dripping points. I don't see Tottenham, West Ham dripping points. If we manage to do a Chelsea and win the Champions League, I'll be so happy. But it's not happening.
Hey, we weren't that bad last season.
No, I'm not talking about that time. I'm talking about when
2012.
It is what it is. We're not getting. If we get top four, it'll be a miracle. But I'm not going to say my now again. Top four, no chance. We blew it with that game yesterday. We blew it.
I'm so sorry, guys. This is probably going to be like cut out or something. Apparently, Mo Salah's willy's trending.
Oh my god, there was
just no way that I could carry on going without you knowing this. Okay.
How did they?
Everybody wants to see.
Wait.
Everybody wants to see. He's been sending some.
To who?
It's not his wife!
Wait, he's a married man.
He is, with children.
This is my time. Let me get my
fence ready.
Wait, just before Cromwell's saying, like, playing. I don't have the energy to troll anymore.
Do you know what I'm just saying? I don't have the energy to troll just because this is
fine. Oh, as the trolling begins.
Okay, I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, I'm just like,
I believe you. I really
do. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm just like, okay, let me just.
No, I wish someone asked Mo Salah though.
It's Mo Salah. That is Mo Salah. How do people know? It's his Snapchat. Oh my god, they got him bad.
Yeah.
You show me for.
Wait, they some your screen recorded yes! messaging him.
It's a whole conversation.
You know what? Yeah, we need to discuss that footballers are not allowed.
It's him, because that was his next step.
I know that, buddy. I can't lie. We need to start a dialogue on footballers not being allowed to have a lot of free time because they get up to.
They have too much free time.
They have too much free time. And they the have thing too is, much free time. With the way the schedule's been packed, how do you have the energy? How do you have the energy?
Somebody you're traveling from country to country. You're competing in an international tournament, and you have time to cheat on your wife.
This is why he's not winning.
Can I just say something? Can everyone please look at how fast Audrey's typing on her
phone? This is the best. Ooh.
Wait.
Ooh, you guys are not a hater.
West Ham won.
I think so. No, it's 2-2.
Oh. 2-2, I was going to say. If Leicester managed to mess that up in the last minute again.
Where is Leicester on the Premier League?
They're literally only 5 points above Everton right now.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yeah, haven't played the same amount of games.
I won't even be surprised if they get dragged into a relegation battle, to be honest. Okay. Sorry to our followers and to our viewers.
That was
very off brand.
We are ladies.
You know, we've got the breaking news right here for you, mate. We want to see the news. We've got the news. Nah, we don't have the news for you guys. Sorry. Big up Mo Salah. I guess the AFCON kind of set him back a little bit.
Salah, is that you? Yeah.
Don't do that. Is that you? Yeah. Don't do that.
People recover from losses in different ways.
It's true. I thought so with the wife and the kids. Audrey, if you're finished trolling.
I know it's done for me. Ah, I've got superpowers now. Wow. Ooh. Sorry.
Okay.
You finished
Man United. What are your aspirations, though? What are your aspirations? What do you want to end with?
What, this season?
This season.
There's nothing to do. It's finished.
Okay, so nothing. You don't expect any trophies.
What trophy are we going to win? Champions League?
I mean,
anything can happen.
Chelsea did it.
I don't know if you guys watch the same Man United as I watch.
It's not happening. It's not happening. But thank you.
Maybe top six.
Top six. Thank you for admitting that.
Thank you for being honest. But because Beatrice is very delusional.
She still thinks we're in the top four.
That's what she said in the last recording. Maybe her mind has changed now.
It's probably changed since then.
Game one, we drew all our games.
Life comes at you fast.
And this was like the easy run as well. Like,
That March we're done. Finish. Calm.
Cool. Now let's move on to something a little bit more happier, someone with probably a bit less complaints.
She's been smiling all evening.
Oh, thank God.
For the first time.
Thank God. Because you've been in the trenches. You have been in the trenches, Marva. We are happy for you.
Thank you.
Everton won over the weekend. Was it 2-0?
3-0.
Wow.
Oh, no.
A clean sheet. What do you want to say?
That is Bree's up of yours immediately. The lover. Have you guys seen the rash?
Yeah. I pulled those jeans up immediately.
He doesn't have himself.
Oh, I'm actually crying. Okay. Sorry. Back to being on brand. Frank Lampard's taken over. Mm-hmm. And ever since Frank Lampard, the first match was against Newcastle. It started off really well and then it kind of just went downhill. And I kind of thought, same old Everton, maybe Frank Lampard can't save you. But then you won over the weekend and I thought, okay, maybe something here is happening. But in your eyes, what can you tell me about Everton and how they've kind of progressed or regressed in your opinion?
I mean, I think signing Van der Beek was great. I think... what was that gasp?
Why did you gasp?
No, it's that... Man United didn't treat him well at all for them to go
and
to
he was balling out. He was balling out.
Sorry, I know what's not Everton. It wasn't actually Man United, it's actually Ole. Ole really didn't want the player. Mm. So obviously Ole is gonna play players that he wants to play.
But Ralph Rangnick let him go out online.
Yeah, but I feel like Van,
I feel like that's to get them back. I feel like it's to get him back, though.
Not like you sold him, just alone.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Everton, you guys had a good... Would you say you guys had a good window? Sorry to...
Kind of. I feel like there's still main areas we haven't addressed. Like, we... It was good. We've added some depth into our midfield, which is great. But equally, I'm like, a lot of those positions aren't... It's great to have that depth, but that's more like luxury signings. Do you know what I mean? It's like... Mina's just injured again, so he's out for another 8 to 10 weeks. Godfrey's out for another like 3 weeks. He got possibly even longer. So right now, our only centre backs are Keane and Holgate.
You guys need defenders.
We need centre backs, and not only that, like we've signed left back and a right back, but they're like for the future. Like Patterson, he's still very young. He's promising, but like that's going to be a little while.
Yeah.
So actually, in key areas, we didn't really address that.
Or Jones.
Yeah, no, no, we're right. we're done with that. We're done with signing rejects. Please, please. Although it said that we signed Delhi, but anyway. but yeah, so I feel like we still added to our squad, which is great. And I feel like that has helped, especially within this relegation fight. But then equally, I'm still a bit worried because in certain, like, Keane and Holgate, we can't rely on them. Keane, oh my God, that guy, some days he's just not with it. So Mina makes such a big difference to our defence, like huge, huge difference. So without him, I'm still a bit worried, but still brighter days.
Brighter days ahead. Brighter days.
I have a question, right, about your midfield. Your team is midfield heavy right now. How does Frank Lampard kind of manage that situation? And how does he keep everyone happy, including your new signings of Ali and Van de Beek, who really want game time?
I mean, it's difficult, but I think the way he's done it, I know it's only been like 3 games, but the way he's done it so far has shown promise because he's switching around the systems quite a lot and he's rotating, which is great. Like, even just having Iwobi play yesterday and had a great game, like, honestly, best game I've seen him. Possibly his best ever game for Everton. Like, genuinely was incredible.
I'm happy to hear something positive about it.
I know.
I'm actually happy to hear it.
The reason why Nigeria got knocked out.
It's okay. It's okay.
And whereas, like, he'd played... Gomez had a really good game against Brentford in the Cup and then didn't play well against Newcastle. So, like, to have that rotation is still great because we don't... Especially while Decore's injured again, so he's coming back in a few weeks. So I feel like the fact that he's switching up the systems quite a lot, and part of that is because of our injuries to our fullbacks as well. So we've switched between like a back five, like we had Townsend playing a left wing back, like we've played a 4-4-2 with Iwobi right mid, but kind of mixing into the middle as well. Van de Beek was playing a bit more of like a sitting role yesterday. So Lampard seems to be switching up quite a lot, which is good to see.
You know, why did he do that for us?
I mean, listen, it's been 3 games and we've lost one against Newcastle, so it's not like
no. Do you know what? It's the switching it up that's pissing me off right now.
No, but Frank, you're harshing him because his first season at Chelsea was good, he had no choice.
No, it's not even that, it's just in the second season, if he had switched to a back five. On guard, everything would have changed.
But I think ours is more out of desperation. Like, we had to, do you know what I mean? Like, because of injuries, he just had to play in that system. And also, it's like I said, Keenan Holgate, can't really rely on them. We've got Coleman, like, bless him, played so well yesterday, but that guy's getting old. Like, he's played for us for a long time. You can't just rely on him. And then equally, like, Mikalenko, the new left back, can't rely on him fully yet. So as a result, we often play a back five to accommodate that. So I feel like it's more out of desperation that he has to switch it up a lot. But we'll see. I think, like, honestly, this is the first time we've seen passing football, and I'm not joking, probably since, like, Roberto Martinez managed us. Like, even under Ancelotti, when we were doing well, it was kind of games where it was like, all right, we were solid, we sat back and then took our chances. So it is so refreshing to see. Like, we actually played well yesterday. It wasn't even a thing of just like, okay, we were quite solid, took our chances. We passed it. We pressed from the front. Like, I have not seen this. Like, it's the antithesis of a Benitez football. Oh my God. Benitez football, we were getting like 25% possession. Like, against like terrible teams as well. He didn't trust anyone to pass it. And within, what, 3 games, Lampard has taught them to pass.
No, one thing about Lampard is he loves possession-based football. He loves it. He literally lives for it.
But I think that, like, it suits Everton in a sense because, especially at home, and this is why you can see that we lost against Newcastle away. The 2 games we've had at home, we've won because Goodison is the kind of place where if you're playing well, Goodison will be your 12th man. Mm. If you're playing badly, they will take five players from your team. Like, it is like that. So to have a team that presses from the front, that's aggressive from the beginning, that passes, that tries to pass forward, that will get Goodison on your side. And like, that is exactly what Everton need right now when we're in a relegation fight, is to actually have some positivity. And especially after Benitez, where it was like, the whole situation was just so toxic. It was so draining. This is just, I don't know where it's going to go. I'm not trying to like get ahead of myself, but it's just so refreshing to see a team that like, people are happy, Goodison's happy, fans are happy, and there's some positivity and looking forward to the future. It's just like, oh my God. God, like, we have needed this.
What are we saying? Top four charges? Oh, no, I'm joking. But in terms, realistically, in terms of the relegation battle, does that kind of give you some sort of relief that you may not be able to get dragged down all the way into it?
Yeah, like right. So right now we're sitting 5 points above relegation place, which like, and I think with like a game in hand on I think Norwich, and then like even teams like Brentford, who are a few points above us, but they've played like three or four more games than some of like the teams below. So I'm feeling a bit more relaxed. I'm not getting ahead of myself, because equally the thing that seems to be pushing us is the Goodison crowd, and like we've got some tougher home games coming up. So if we can do that, we've won one away game all season. Mm-hmm. One away game.
And the thing is, that's normally insane. That would surprise me, but I'm here like mm-hmm.
Yeah. that's relegation form. Do you know what I mean? So we'll see. Obviously, if we can start bringing some of that energy to our away games, then hopefully we should be good. But I'm not completely like relaxed yet. But that was a must-win game, and that's the other thing. Like, we've never been in a relegation battle for like, not never, but for the last pretty much like 10 years or so, mm-hmm. Maybe even longer. And all these other teams around us had. So I was worried that like,
they know how to get out.
Do you know
of
what
it.
I mean? Like, we've never been in that situation where we need to win games. And whenever we have needed to win games in terms of like, if we win this game, we'll get top four. If we win this game, we'll get top six. We never win it, ever. So I was worried about our mentality. But to have that must-win game and actually win that must-win game makes me think, all right, maybe they will apply that.
I feel like the only other must-win game that you have in terms of the relegation battle is against Watford in March. Otherwise, yeah. I think...
But then, obviously, you need to pick up points along the way as well. We've got Southampton next away, which obviously they're in quite good form.
Free
but
to play. Yeah. So Liverpool, Chelsea, Man City.
Yeah, literally, that's what was worrying us as well, because our end of like season fixtures, they're tough. So we need to pick up these points now to be safe, basically. But yeah.
I hate to be you, but at the same time, I'm happy to see you smiling. Because fam, for weeks, you weren't smiling.
It was bad. It was bad. Like, before the, like, when... You don't understand the drama that was happening behind the scenes with Everton. Like, when they were trying to get this other guy, Pereira, just because he's essentially mates with our owner, like, and he's got his qualifications in terms of managing, like, no. He wouldn't have brought in Van der Beek. He wouldn't have brought in Dele Alli. Like, sometimes it's just that personnel change as well.
Yeah.
Super and players. He's got Paul now, you know?
Yeah, he's got Paul. And also, but also, I just think amongst players as well, like, people will look up to him, and especially when our midfield has been so shocking, to have a world-class midfielder in his day like be like, do you know what I mean? It gives players some hope, whereas if we'd brought in some nobody who there's already like toxic feelings there, it could have got so bad. So those weeks leading up to that, it was bad. I thought that was it for our club, but I have some hope now.
Well, it's nice to end it on a happy note. It really is. Like, we still have one more topic to talk about, and it's not so happy. Like, you probably won't see Marva smile this hard, but Kurt Zouma, right? What a situation. In fact, football as a whole has been mad these last
Given we haven't years. Given we haven't recorded for the last few weeks, a lot has happened.
A lot. And it's like too many things have happened for us to just sit and focus on football as a whole. But let's talk about this Kurt Zouma situation. So if you don't know what's happened, maybe you've been living under a rock, I don't know. In fact, if you don't know what's happened, I'm not too sure why you're listening to the podcast. You clearly don't know about the football world. But Kurt Zouma kicked a cat. Slapped it up as well, apparently. I didn't get that far into a video. It was all filmed. The video was put out there. It made me sick. And I'm just like, listen, you know, obviously I'm planning on getting a dog. If anyone touches my dog like that, it's on site. Like, it's actually on site. So there's been a lot of backlash on it. And let's start with that. Let's start with the fact that he kicked a cat and there was backlash on it. Like, guys, I haven't heard from you in a while, Joyce, so I'll come straight to you. Do you think the backlash was warranted for, just for the action of him kicking that cat and abusing that cat?
I think that, like, the backlash was definitely warranted. I think it was so... It just seems so unprovoked. Like, not that there's ever really a reason to, like, kick an animal, but it wasn't even like, oh, the animal was, like, attacking him or, like, launched his, like, grabbed his foot and he's trying to, like, kick it off. He literally picked...
It was, like, playful, like, as in... Like he was getting...
So he drop kicked a cat. It's like he was doing, like, rugby, like, drills or something. He's throwing the cat, slapping it around, all of this stuff. And people are filming and laughing, which means, like... You know how sometimes if someone does something bad and they're filming it secretly to be like, oh, my God, I can't believe this thing happened. Mm-hmm. They publicly posted it. They were laughing. They were, like, egging him on, encouraging it. And I don't think... I think the issues that are going on right now, I don't think the issue is that Zuma, like, oh, Zuma shouldn't be punished or Zuma was punished too harshly or whatever. I think everything that he's gotten, well, almost everything that he's gotten so far, I think has been pretty warranted, especially when we know how people see, like, cats and how people see, like, their domestic pets. Like, people really, really value, like, the pets that they have at home. So it's, like, it's almost, I think people have taken it, the reason it feels so personal, the reason, like, I feel like there's such a strong backlash, because so many people own pets. So many people have, like, their own dog, they have their own cat, they have their own hamster or, like, rabbit or whatever. And if someone came and, like, kicked it, like, they would feel, it feels like a personal slight. I think the reason why maybe it started to get backlash is because the, maybe, like, the manner in which he was fined and how quickly people reacted and how quickly people were to, like, drop him as sponsors and drop him and, like, ask for him to be dropped from the team. I think people have said, like, well, in general, it's kind of been like, okay, we haven't seen that kind of response when other things have happened. If there's been, like, a case, you know, to do with violence or a case to do with racism or a case to do with anything else. And I don't, I mean, I guess some people have turned it into, like, a whataboutism type thing. Mm-hmm. But I think for me anyway, it was just trying to, I have no problem with Zuma being punished. I would just like for everything to be treated
the same way,
to be, like, to be given the same kind of, like, respect, like, the same kind of outrage when things, when football players do, like, bad things. Do you know what I mean? Because if we're, like, rightfully angry that he's done something, like, so disgusting and so unprovoked, I think we need to kind of try and maintain that energy, because I was seeing people say, oh, you know, but racism is just words and it's normally just verbal things online and da 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 da. And I think it really, like, downplays racism, you know, like, downplaying sexism that's really rife in football and downplaying, like, all the, like, violence and, like, things, like, the things have been, like, forgiven and, like, washed under the carpet. Like, let's just not do that next time. That's the kind of, do you get what I mean? Like, that's where I'm at, really. Like, punish him, but also, like, moving forward, let's keep that same energy with all, like, when footballers mess up with other things as well.
But I think what you're saying about, like, especially in this country, like, you're saying how many people have pets and relate to it, I think that is such a part of it, because, like you're saying, people saying that racism is just words. In this country, we don't view racism as violence unless it's actually physical violence. And that's not what racism is. Like, racism isn't just words. It is violence. It's structural violence. But when you haven't been through that,
You don't need to go through something to have empathy for people.
No, completely. And that's why it's like, but I think that's why so many people in this country have reacted to this, because they don't view racism like that.
Oh, they're just racist.
Yeah, 100%.
I saw on Twitter, racism is
actually
funny.
Why are you laughing? Guys, we can't have serious conversations. Like,
you know, I'm laughing because of, at times, you just have to laugh at racist people.
Someone's
said, oh, how comes racism is not taken seriously in football? An account said, what if I don't like black folk and I prefer cats to black people? You have to, those stuff, it's like, you have to laugh at certain stuff like that, because that's how a lot of people feel. Like, 100%. Oh, a lot of racist people, they don't view black people's lives as anything. They view us like we're bottom of barrel. What we say doesn't hurt. On Twitter, you're seeing, like, white people say, oh, it's just a bunch of words. How are you telling how are you telling black people how to feel about racism? Not just black people, not even just black people, everyone that's subject to racism, how are you telling them how to feel about it? You ain't walked in our shoes. Mm-hmm. Do you think racism is just words? People died. Slavery was something. Like, what do you think? Those were just words. People are literally dying. Even people are still dying to this day just because it's not in your faces. If you actually search it in certain countries and whatever, black people are still being kept as slaves. So racism is just not words. And forgive me or not, some people say that some people actually value animals' lives higher than human beings, which is okay, you can have that opinion, but don't try and take away black people's pain or foreigners' pain about racism because you're not in it. It's actually horrible. Racism actually even stops us from progressing in certain aspects of life. Like, for example, I'm a black woman. Everyone knows being black is one thing, but then being a black woman in society is hell. We can't progress to the same level as our other pairs because we're black. Just because words can happen, but you're actually stopping us from progressing and doing stuff in our life just because we're black. Sorry, this topic really proper gets my nose because I'm talking as a black woman. I know how hard it is being a black woman. So when people say to me, oh, it's just words, you can get over it. It's not just words because these things, they stop us and it fucks you up mentally. You look up, you see stories, oh, my white pair's on like 40K. I'm only on like 20. Why? It's because you're black. These things happen. It happens, not just words. Maybe to them, oh, you can get over it. What's their favorite line? Sticks and stones may break my bones. Sorry. To other people, it doesn't. It actually affects them mentally. Sorry, mother. This topic really gets my nerves. Like, it's been seen stupid. Some tweets are funny because if you cry at, so if you're upset about stuff, it will just get you angry. But some of the tweets are just so dumb. Like, they're dumb. Like that one that said, "What if you prefer?" Like, fine. A lot of them feel like that. He was bold enough to say it. Then there's another. I don't know if you guys saw this one. The man was hitting his horse. I don't know if you guys saw it. I'm happy that a lot of people are at in Sky Sports. What are you going to do about that? Are these companies going to take away his Olympic gold or whatever? What are you actually going to do about it? Because he was actually smacking the horse. You can see the horse was in distress. Like, it was actually a really bad video. I didn't condone beating your animals or whatever. I didn't condone violence. But don't make it seem like black lives are nothing to animals' lives. Well, human beings, at the end of the day, we have the same flesh. We have the same blood. The only thing that separates us is colour. So why is it that our lives don't matter to you guys because of they don't empathize with us because they're racist. So and like they're racist, point blank, they're racist.
Yeah,
there's no borderline. Like you're racist. You can't say they're ignorant. No. You're racist because why is an animal's life more important than a black person's life? Why can't it be equal? Why is it just words? Okay, someone said, like, how do you know there wasn't, like, do you understand? It's not just words. Sorry, guys. This topic really gets my nerves. It genuinely gets my nerves. That's why I try and block it out and just I look at the funny tweets. Because when you start actually thinking about this, how a lot of them view this is just online. People outside, even your workplace, are like that.
Girl, I'm not even gonna lie to you. Like, after the whole outrage on everything, I'm looking and I'm thinking, why do I even bother like trying to get into this industry? Like, why am I working in this industry? What am I doing with this industry? Is this industry even going to get any better? What is the point? These people don't even love me. Like, they don't like me. They don't want to see me do well, type of thing. And it does mess with you mentally. It does. It really does. Boy, sorry. That was really touching.
Oh, no. To them, it's just words, but
It's not just words. It's a whole bunch of things. It's not just violence either. There's institutional racism. There's so many different levels to racism. But taking it back to Kurt Zouma and the situation with him, Bree, do you think West Ham were justified in playing him? Especially so close after the freaking incident. I thought that was stupid. Yeah. But what do you think?
I don't want to talk on this topic. If I'm being honest, I don't want to.
Okay, I thought it was really stupid, if I'm being honest with you. Like, if somebody, for any reason, is in the limelight, not even just kicking a cat, maybe if it's just, like, you know, they were caught smoking and drinking and alcohol and stuff, something very bad in the media, you don't put them back into the limelight. It was a very stupid...
Didn't he pull out today of the game, like, a few minutes before? Yeah. Like, for being unwell or something? Yeah. I mean, we'll find out a bit more about it, but...
Yeah.
I think everyone's just... I don't want to talk about it, because I'll just say stuff I'm not meant to say.
Salmas as well. He's actually pissed me off. Do you see how he's going in and saying that Zuma should not play to the end of the season? Are you flipping stupid? You share the studio with was it Jamie Carragher that spat on a human mm-hmm. being? Did you ever say that he should not come to the studio and record? You can see that it's race again. It comes to racism. He's paid his fine. He's got his cats taken away from. What else do you want to happen? Mm-hmm. Like why? Like he's made his mistake. They've done is enough. He's got his Adidas taken away from him. What more? How can you come and say someone should stop playing football till the end of the season? If that's the case, every one of them that's committed sexual violence, abuse, man, they should not play. They should not play as well.
He got a harsher punishment in terms of fine and losing sponsorships more than like Suarez did.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that Adidas now gave Suarez a warning saying that if he does race him again, they'll take that.
It's crazy that sponsors would give a warning for racism, yeah. But God forbid you could.
But have they just done that now? As a like.
During the time.
The Liverpool thing, though, like, they gave him a warning. Like, guys, we're not saying the cat. We're not saying that we condone.
Yeah, of course.
But it's like, just if you're gonna set out a rule, let it be the same for everything. Don't make one thing extreme, then let the other ones be just something you can brush under. It's not right. And someone said, I can't remember the pundit. He said, "Oh, Zuma should everything that Zuma gets him, he should expect it." You know, he's gonna get racist abuse. So you're saying, but because he kicks a cat, it's okay for him to get racist abuse? It's not. It's not. When on his page, monkey signs, whatever. What? Because what he did was wrong, but you're no better than him. Like, do you understand? You're angry that he's kicked a cat, but then you're still being racist to him. You're as bad as him. And that's what racist people do. They always go for colour. You can call him other names, like, oh, you're a horrible human being, this and that. But no, they decide to call him a monkey. They decide to call him the N-word. It doesn't make anybody. You can insult people without being racist. I know that. But yeah, this topic, I just don't want to think about it. It gets my nerves.
I do think that it's just like important to like reiterate the fact. Well, for me anyway, that like in terms of like punishment and in terms of the fact that he's getting lots of backlash, it's I do warranted. Think that it's very warranted. Deserved. And I don't think anyone here is trying to say that like, oh, Zuma shouldn't be punished and Zuma shouldn't get the backlash that he does or that he is getting, or, you know, like losing sponsorships and things. I just think it's about taking loads of issues seriously and making sure that, like, okay, if this is the precedent that we're setting, like, yes, like people should be fined like big wages and people should be like, they should be like severely punished when they do things that are wrong.
Yeah.
But like, let's, in the same kind of swiftness and the same kind of like outrage, I think that we should kind of generally have respect for like all the things that like go wrong with that football players do. Like just kind of like maintain it. Like we've seen how quickly like you can act, and I'm glad.
Yeah.
Just like keep doing that.
It's true.
And I guess on that note, we'll just end it there. I don't think any of us want to go into any other depressing things that's happening.
Champions League is back actually.
Yeah, something positive. Champions League.
I don't think we're playing this week.
Oh. We're not playing this week either, so we're not back now until the week after. Oh. Let me get up the fixtures.
I think it's PSG and Madrid. I think they just
are they? Let's see. But I'm happy it's back. And Valentine's Day is tomorrow. Anyone doing anything special?
I'm seeing Snow Allegra.
I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous. I've been trying to get her tickets. In London or Manchester?
Bristol.
Oh, Bristol. Oh,
can you imagine? Like, that's just pure love right there.
I'll go with my friends.
Oh. Yeah. I really wanted to get tickets. So upset.
No, she's a liar. You're going with your friend?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Never mind.
I really wanted to go to a concert.
You'd be thinking that it was a boy.
Yeah.
Okay, let's not even go into Snow Allegra, because we could be here just singing for hours. But you're right, PSG play Real Madrid on Tuesday. Sporting Man City, Salzburg and Bayern. I think Salzburg and Bayern should be pretty good. It should be. God, please let my expectations be met. Inter Milan, Liverpool. Yeah, and that's it. That's it for this week.
Salah has to come on crud, sorry.
Salah has to get a hat-trick. He has to get a hat-trick. After everyone see what you're fucking now, baby, you got to get a hat-trick. You got to get some. But PSG Real Madrid, anyone expecting that to be a thriller? Is anyone expecting it to be kind of anticlimactic? Because Neymar's not going to be there. Yeah, anticlimactic. What about you, Jess?
There's still Messi and Mbappe. Oh, I got his name right, though.
Mm. Oh, I feel like it'll be a good game.
Sorry, that's
funny. I feel like it'll be a good... I feel like it'll be quite end-to-end.
End-to-end?
Yeah.
Real Madrid have been pretty good as well.
I just want PSG to win. I need Poch to show me something.
I don't know. I feel like Real Madrid are going to do it.
They will. I think they're still a bit hurt from last year.
And Ramos at PSG?
Yeah.
Does he play?
He was injured for a while, wasn't he? And then,
He got a red card. And then
of course he
did. I would love to play Ramos thing. I would love to see that.
What about Sporting Man City?
Obviously, Man City.
It doesn't really go about it. Goes about City.
Do you guys think Man City could win the Champions League this season?
Nah.
Every year they're like either favourites or one of the favourites just because they have a really good team. Nah. And then, I don't know, they get into like the quarterfinals, semifinals, and then their brain just...
Do you know why they will never win? As long as Liverpool's in that competition.
Oh, I was going to say Yaya Touré and Pep.
That judge is strong.
Does anyone know about Salzburg and Bayern? Anyone got any expectations?
They lost yesterday.
Yeah, like 5-2. Four two.
They had two goals cancelled, I think. So it should have been like 6 or something, but boy.
But then I feel like Bayern always do. They always have like one game like that, and then
I don't know when they lost like 5-0 or something. Do you remember earlier on in the season?
And also they have so many seasons in the Bundesliga where it's like you're like, oh, they might actually not win it this year, and then it's like they just run away.
They do
it
on purpose. I'm not.
I've seen something like that where someone was like to prove that they're not a farmers league.
Like, oh, it's not. The Bundesliga is so competitive. Like, they'll lose and all their fans are like, oh, see, you guys think that we walk the league every season, look how hard it is.
maybe it's part of their plan. It's part of their plan to get Salzburg a bit shaken up. But I expect Adeyemi to come in on crud in that match. By the grace of God. Anyway, and Inter Milan, Liverpool. Anyone expecting Inter Milan win?
I said, Salah has to drop a masterclass.
After anyone's seen that little video, Mohamed Salah, all eyes on you, I'm going to say. All eyes on you, baby. But listen, unless anyone has any last comments, anything they want to talk about.
Hope you guys will have a wonderful Valentine's Day.
Grow up. It was our anniversary over the weekend on last Friday. We are now 3 years old. Thank you guys for supporting us for these last few years. It's been a bumpy ride, but we got here in the end, especially with COVID being in the way. So thank you guys for always tuning in to our podcast, especially for those who stay till the end, because we've been seeing the analytics, like, y'all be dropping off sometimes. If you're staying to the end, thank you so much. But I guess from us is goodbye and have a good day, evening, afternoon.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.